It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Well, hey there. How you doing today? Glad to be with you. It seems like it's been forever, but we're back. And also back for a special guest appearance. Not really a guest appearance. He's here. He's a fixture like the plants in the office. Scott Connor, what do you say?
I do feel like a plant.
we'll make sure you get watered.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Welcome back, Scott.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You took a day, did the go-karting with the kid?
Yeah, I spent three very intense days with children, and so I'm glad to be back to work.
All right. Well, very good. I'm sure they enjoyed that.
I imagine so.
Yeah. Kids are fun. All right. Well, speaking of kids and fun, let's talk about the stock market.
Yeah. Stock market Monday was just sort of a nice, tepid, move-along kind of day. Dow ended up 6 points to the positive.
It was up over 30 at one point, right?
Yeah, but still, I mean, 30 is not such a big deal. So up 6 points to the positive on the close at 13,239. NASDAQ, pretty good day, up 23. A lot of that on the heels of Apple's big news, which I'm sure we'll talk about. S&P had a pretty good day, up 5.5 points at 1409. Gold up $7. Oil basically flat at $1.10. Yield on 10-year treasuries all the way up to 236.
We've got some momentum building there.
Yeah, no question about it. It definitely makes fixed income management quite a bit more challenging.
Well, thank God we have you here to help, Scott.
Yeah, it really is the extent of my focus right now because it's moving so fast. We're talking about the reversal of a 20-year run, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you want to hit some other highlights, and we'll break down the Treasury thing in just a minute.
Yeah, there were a handful of things out there. Starbucks corporate news. Starbucks announced is getting ready to open their first Evolution Juice Bar store. They're basically taking the juice bar idea and building it out the same way they've built out the Starbucks.
Will they be having both there, the coffee and the juice, or is it going to be a separate deal?
They're going to have to do some of both. I think it probably is more efficient to just do them both.
It seems like it's kind of duplication. Once you get your caffeine, aren't you juiced?
Yeah, I don't know, but
I say that with the eyebrow up, so that little bit of humor there. Go ahead.
You know, 20 years ago, you would have never guessed you were going to spend $5 for a latte, right?
So, never.
Similar
never
to Apple,
that.
They changed
and
the way
we
lived.
And you know what? If we stopped by the store, me and the whole family, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, where you got a couple of coffees, then the kids got to get something. I mean, you know, you're out of there with a banknote.
Yeah, it can stack up on your really fast in there. So that's a big, big expansion for them. We had big news from Apple on Monday morning before the market opened at 9 o'clock, announced that they have finally come up with a plan for all that cash that everybody has been talking about and talking about and talking about and talking about. And they are launching a dividend of $2.65 per share per quarter.
What is that, about 1.5%?
It's about 1.8%.
Okay.
That
makes it a okay dividend. It sounds like a lot of money, but you wouldn't call that a high dividend stock.
Yeah, it's not an income stock. Now, personally, I think that price has to change. That $600 price, I think
that's going to come down, don't you?
Yeah, it's just not sustainable. That chart, the momentum that chart has, the straight up chart, I mean, it looks a lot like...
Now, we have clients that this is in our portfolios, yeah. So we'd love to see Apple to go to 1,000, but you being the manager you are, you're saying, you know what, I just don't see it sustainable at the current price.
Yeah, and the other problem that a stock move like that
so far,
provides
so fast.
Us with, yeah, things move up that fast. We try to keep our individual equity positions fairly small from a risk management perspective because, you know, you don't want to be too overexposed. When a stock does what Apple has done, from a pure risk management standpoint, you have to start paring it back. I haven't started yet, but I'm not going to have a choice.
Well, if it gets too much of the portfolio, right?
Yeah, just from a pure risk management.
It changes how much we have in large company stocks. It changes how much we have in technology.
Yeah.
It makes a whole shift in what you're doing.
Yeah, and regardless of how terrific we might think the company is, we have no choice because risk comes first.
Well, and you know what else, Scott? It reminds me of and again, everybody knows I'm not a big sports fan, but I know what sports are.
Yeah.
And I do understand the basic mechanics. And it reminds me of the sport athlete that's just on fire. And then all of a sudden, what happens?
Yeah, he snaps his elbow or something.
Or we find out that he's done something really bad,
yeah.
And we just didn't know it.
Yeah.
It's like there's this, what do they call that? The regression to the mean, the
yeah.
regression to mediocrity or
yeah.
whatever it is, that the stars shine brightly, but then they come back down.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that going forward. But, you know, it's not uncommon news to get share buybacks and dividend announcements. We actually had two other fairly important ones on Monday. Target is raising its annual dividend between now and 2017, up $3 a share. They're going to continue to buy back shares. Safeway grocery store is going to increase their dividend and also has a repurchase program. All a repurchase program is when a company takes the money that they have in the bank and they go out in the market and they buy their own shares back.
They slim down. It's like going on Weight Watchers.
It does a couple things. It puts some buying pressure in the marketplace, so maybe that helps the share.
But it's short term,
and it also takes a lot of control back for the company, so they don't have all those shares floating out there.
Well, the thing I don't get about it is, I mean, yeah, that's good, the getting the control, but why? I mean, I didn't understand that with Apple, why they wanted to do the buyback just because of the sheer number of shares out there.
Well, and a lot of times companies will do it because they think they're stock is at a good price, you know, at a fair price. But the other thing to keep in mind with these things, and this is really, really, really important, and people forget it all the time, the $10 billion that they announced for a stock repurchase program is not a commitment. It's just an approval. So they can, if they choose to, buy up to $10 billion.
Okay.
They can also buy zero. So there's no guarantee that this
money
is going to
come in. So that's really just we're planning on doing this, but it doesn't cost them anything to do that.
It's just an
authorization. Once you say you're going to do a dividend, people are going to expect it. And
yes.
Then if you stop doing it,
yeah, that's a problem.
Then you're in trouble because once you stop paying a dividend,
like the banks did.
Well, yeah, or the great example I always think of is GE.
Yeah.
Paid a dividend forever, but they cut their dividend. What happened to their stock price?
Yeah, and that was shocking when GE cut dividends.
I mean, who would have thought, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, what's not shocking is we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back, and we're going to continue our conversation. I've got another interesting I want to talk about as it relates to dividend paying stock. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Okay, we're back. Real quick, let's talk about this, Scott. We're talking about dividends and Apple and how they're going to be paying all this money out. Just real quick, companies are on pace. USA Today has a good report on this. Companies are on pace to pay a record of $263 billion to shareholders over the next 12 months. And basically, it's pretty high compared to what we've seen in the past. What's interesting is that the Standard & Poor's is still down 10% from where it was when it paid out some of those same dollar amounts in terms of dividends. So there's definitely some room to grow, if you will, for the stocks.
Yeah, I think so. And almost any valuation metrics you look at tells you that things are priced much differently than they were back then.
But this is not going to, I mean, it's not going to kill these big U.S. corporations to pay out these dividends. They collectively, the S&P 500, which is 500 of the larger companies that are publicly traded in the United States, they're sitting collectively on $1 trillion in cash.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind that they're earning nothing on that cash. So it almost does them more good to get the goodwill of giving them the dividend. And the dividend is not always good news for a client, depending on who you are. It triggers a tax event. That's one thing. Another thing is that you might want to see your company put that money towards growth or towards acquisitions or towards training or towards advertising or towards something besides giving the money back. So they're not always a good thing.
Yeah, and I think there's just such a pent-up demand for people saying, hey, we want the money, and activist investor boards and all of that, but also just the fact that dividend rates are also a lot lower right now than they may be in 2013.
Tax rates.
Yeah, sure. Tax rates may jump over 40%, 43%, 44%.
That's going to change the investment landscape if they go back to income levels or anything like that.
Well, and what may happen to that is that may cause a shift again from dividends to capital gains.
Yeah, or fixed income.
Well, we think there's room to roam, so to speak. Scott, there are some folks out there that say, hey, we might see a correction. You know, what do you think?
Well, I think any given day the possibility for a correction exists, and if you're afraid of a correction, if a correction is really going to cause you harm, then stock market probably is not the right place for you. I always assume a correction is right around the corner.
Well, there you go. And that's why you manage risk first. And yeah. I think that's perfectly put, because every time I sit down with somebody doing planning for them, every time we had that conversation, say, okay, now we're going to do this for liquidity, we're going to do this for income, we're going to do these different buckets where we're going to put your money. And the money that we put into the growth bucket that's invested in the market, be it stocks primarily or even a mix of bonds, which we're going to get to in just a minute, is going to be longer term money. But people don't get that. I don't know why people look at the market as a short term phenomenon or a way to invest.
Yeah, because we have so much of this day-to-day stuff just in our face all the time. It's on the evening news. It's all over the internet. And never does that come with a disclaimer that says, really, 10 years from now, this stuff isn't going to matter. But here's what happened today.
Well, it's scary when I see people do that. And I want to help them. But people think way too short-term sometimes, which is why you need a plan.
Yeah, what I would encourage clients to do is to let a professional manager worry for you. And then that way you don't have to do it.
Well, and what's ironic about that is because you understand that the money is for longer term or should be, you're not freaking out over a 5% pullback or even a 10% correction. You're going to look at it as, I know exactly what Scott's going to do. I can read his mind. He sees a 10% correction. You're going to say, okay, let me look at how we've got this portfolio allocated. Yeah. Are we balanced? Is there an opportunity to take advantage of this pullback or correction to get where we need to be? I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, it's just numbers for us.
Well, home builders. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, this week is a huge real estate week. Every single day this week, there is a major real estate announcement coming out, and they're coming out from different sources. Some are from the Commerce Department, some are from the National Association of Realtors, some are from finance organizations. So there are some important numbers coming out from all over the place this week, which to me really could put us on the road, if we get good numbers, towards a real sustainable recovery, not only in the housing market, but could continue the momentum in the stock market. So I'm very, very hopeful for the housing numbers this week for the first time in a long time. The number that came out Monday was the home builders outlook. It was unchanged and below analyst expectations, but it wasn't a negative number or a bad number.
Well, and there's a separate gauge out there that they look at the confidence in sales over the next 6 months from builders, and it's up again. They've been up six straight months on the confidence level. So I think you're right, Scott, and this is the thing that really is probably hanging up our overall growth to go from being in first gear, so where we can get into second and third and fourth and merge out on the highway for economic growth, is to see this kind of home building or more confidence in it. And you know what's funny? And this is just pure anecdotal evidence, but every time I look in the news journal, our local Daytona Beach News Journal, I look in the paper and I look under who's doing what in terms of business or new jobs. It seems like 8 out of 10 people, it's something for real estate. And so, you know, this person's joining Realty Pros, this person's joining Adams Cameron. I mean, it's the different names that they're joining. So it's something's going on.
Yeah, I think something is going on. And we'll see this week. We get existing home sales later this week, home price index, new home sales, also housing starts. So this could be a very important week in housing news.
You know, real quick back to the whole thing about a potential correction for the market. I think what's got people still somewhat complacent or not enthused yet about the market's rally? You know, I don't see a lot of enthusiasm. People, what do you think, Scott? I mean, people don't seem really all that enthused about the market.
Retail money is still not in the market.
And you know what? I'll tell you, I have three reasons why. Number one, I think people are generally in a subdued mood because interest rates still being where they are. And we'll talk about that in the next segment. Debt, there's still people that are very worried about our U.S. debt being over $15 trillion. You missed on the last show, I gave a new, and I'll mention it again today. During the time our show is on, the whole 30 minutes, our debt for the U.S. debt, total amount of debt outstanding, increases by $2 million.
Yeah.
Just in that 30-minute period. And then housing, which is the other one that people are worried about. Well, let's take a quick break, Lisa, and we come back. Let's talk about this big issue with 10-year treasuries, the interest rates going up, and what that means to people and how it can affect their portfolio. Stick around.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, we're back. And no bull. No bull yet because Scott's still here and we're taking care of business. So no bull investing, no bull on bonds. The bull run may have ended. We're seeing in the papers, you're hearing talk now, ladies and gentlemen, on the radio, of course, like what we're doing here and also on TV, about 10-year treasuries, the price of those bonds falling or the yield on them going up. And so let's break that down a little bit for our listener, Scott.
Yeah, it's been a really quick move in the last couple of weeks from basically inside 2% to now 2.3%.
Meaning that if someone bought a 10-year treasury, they would have earned less than 2% each year for the 10-year period. Now they would earn 2.3, 2.4.
Yeah, which sounds good in that light. But if you're already holding treasury bonds, when the yields go up, the price of the bonds that you're holding comes down. So, you know, it has been a big, big worry in the whole financial arena for the last couple of years since rates have been so low that at some point we're going to see a significant reversal. Bond prices are going to fall really, really hard. Interest rates are going to go up and there are going to be a lot of people that are caught on the wrong side of that trade.
Well, I tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be people that got really freaked out with the market and they jumped out of the frying pan and then I think they may have landed in the fire. And this is not the first time we've seen this happen. And the thing to be careful of is not to sell all your money that's in the market and go all into bonds. Now, you and I both know that having a mix of stocks and bonds is a good diversification thing, but don't go all in.
Yeah, on anything. And also, I think be really careful about what you see in the press, because anytime there's an uptick in inflation rates, people come out of the woodwork and they say, oh, it's all over for bonds. It's right. All over. It's been all over for bonds probably 20 times in the last 10 years.
Just ask Bill Gross, he'll tell you.
So, right, exactly. It was almost exactly a year ago that he was saying, not only do I not hold treasuries, I'm going to short them.
Yeah, he was completely on the wrong end of that trade.
Right. So even the so-called experts can be really, really, really wrong. The Fed has the power to manipulate that market if they choose to, and they have shown willingness to do that. So
they still have another $300 billion that they got to put in over the next 3 months into longer-term bonds. So I think that with that, we'll still see these bonds. I think the interest rates are going to continue to tick up, but I don't see another QE3. I just don't see it. What do you think?
You know, I don't know. I think there's always the possibility. Yeah. I think if I had to say yes or no, I'd probably say no. I think the Fed is really reluctant to do it, but they'll do it if they have to.
I mean, if rates start jumping up really quick, then they would.
Yeah, if inflation picks up sharply or interest rates pick up sharply and the economy is not showing a commensurate amount of momentum, then I think they'll have to.
But if this momentum continues, then I think they'll let it run.
I think so too.
Okay. Well, we're on the same page there because the reality is that once the federal government stops interceding in the interest rate and bond markets, that we will see those rates go up because the consumer, the investor, has to be paid a return for, you know, buying the government debt because they can do other stuff. They can go get 1.8% on their Apple stock.
Yeah, that's right.
And have the potential for appreciation.
Yeah, so there is a lot of attention being paid to the bond market right now. Most people use the 10-year Treasury as sort of their index or their proxy of what bond markets are doing. And as an asset manager, I'm paying closer attention to bonds right now than I am to equities, just because they are moving so fast that we have to pay very, very close attention to them.
Well, so there could be an exodus, if you will, from bonds, treasuries. What about gold? Now, as we see the appetite and interest level go up for riskier assets, for stock and other equities, what do you think about gold? You think that it will start to fade?
I think it will. 1663 right now. It wasn't that long ago. It was 1800 plus an ounce. And I'm in of the same mind of view with you that gold is really a crisis hedge more than anything. Seems like most of this Europe falling apart thing is behind
quiet,
us.
Right?
Yeah. We have to get through an election, and we certainly are going to have to go through some more debt negotiating and everything else here domestically. But I think for the short term, there is enough steady momentum in the stock markets that gold may have lost some of its appeal.
Do you think people are surprised that we have the amount of debt that we do as a country? Do you think generally everyday people, they're surprised, or do you think they even care?
I think they know it's a huge problem, and generally speaking, people are worried about it. I think that probably is about the depth of it, though, generally.
Okay, not any more than that. You know, because I've gotten my stack of radio stuff. I ran across it the other day. I had kept this from a while ago when the president was elected. He had done his projection, and they had the Office of Budget Management had done their projections, and they had our total debt hitting $18 trillion by like 2016 or something like that. So, I mean, it's always been projected. It's just maybe just a reality of it. People are like, I didn't know it was going to be, you know, $15 trillion, $16 trillion.
Yeah, plus I think on those projections, they just basically do the projection. They don't say, here's what this really means.
Right.
We have to change Social Security. We have to change Medicare. We have to cut back military. It doesn't come with that. It comes with basically a straight line projection number.
Yeah.
Which is not particularly useful to anybody.
No, it's not. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Scott Connor. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
That's a load of bull.
Okay, I am going to try to contain myself, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody get a rope. They're going to need to tie me up here. You know, every now and then, having done this as long as I have, and being a student of the industry, and of course having, you know, Scott here working with me, and the rest of the team that my company has, we're pretty much on top of what's going on with the finances and retirement and what people can invest in. You know, every now and then something new will come along, but a lot of stuff is, well, it's tried and true. We don't favor the exotic things you hear about people getting scammed on. We stick with stuff that's pretty conservative. So one of the articles I ran across that really got my attention and to be candid, got my blood boiling, was an article that was in USA Today. I kind of, you know, USA Today, I'm subscribing to that. It's kind of, you take the good, you take the bad, then you have the USA Today facts of life. You know, that's what this is like. So anyway, here's my problem, or here's the concern. Low interest rate dilemma is the name of the article by Mr. Matt Krantz. Anyway, he writes an article basically saying that with the Federal Reserve holding down interest rates so low, are there any ways investors can get income? And it basically says that you either have to accept no interest or very little interest or take risk. It really struck me as very limited. The options, corporate dividends, preferred stocks, corporate bonds, CDs, and then some of these weird master limited partnerships. But what struck me about this is I'm holding the paper. You can hear me rattling it around. And so he talks about all these, basically these are all securities, by the way, except for the CD. All these things are securities that you would get from a stockbroker. You could hire an investment advisor to manage your money too, but right next to it on the other page, look at this, Lisa, I'm holding it up so Lisa can see it too. There's this huge half-page ad for Edward Jones. Well, what do you know? What are the odds that they would put these things that USA Today would put these things that what are you supposed to do in a low interest rate environment? Well, here they all are. And what do you know? There's your friendly Edward Jones guy to do it. And so I'm like, are you kidding me? And then over here, Edward Jones has got their little ad and it says key questions to ask. Well, that's a good thing. I've heard somebody else suggest there are things you should ask. I think they're reading my mail, Lisa. You know, the things you should ask an advisor. In fact, I wrote a book about it. Anyway. So they ask your financial advisor how to stay on track for your retirement. And they give you some example questions. Which investments could help me reach my goals? Number two, how do I know if I'm too aggressive with my investment approach? Number three, how often should I review my retirement savings? Okay, that's real good. But the problem here is what we need is, number one, some financial planning. It doesn't start and end with the product or the particular security they want to recommend. What's frustrating when I look at this is it seems it's very amateur. And I think the consumer, the investor, deserves better. I'm offended on your behalf, ladies and gentlemen, because I look at these choices and I go, this is it? Now, maybe some of these things could work with a portfolio, but I see no planning. I see no income guarantees from an annuity or some other way of creating your own income. It's like, oh, well, you know, interest rates are low, so I guess you got to you're not making any money, so take your money to Vegas. I think that's ridiculous. And I'm going to add a few other questions to Mr. Friendly Edward Jones questions that he has on here that this advertisement has. I've got some other questions. Number four, have you nothing better to do than walk door to door and solicit my family and my friends with you instead of managing money? You know, Edward Jones went around and they put little things on people's door saying, hey, I stopped by to see you to introduce myself. Are you kidding me? Get back to your office and manage people's money and get out of my yard. What are you doing? Advertise like everybody else. Well, here's a half-page ad doing that. How about some credentials? How about some independence? How about, here's something that should have been on this list of things to ask an advisor or tell a customer. Broker check. One word. I mentioned this on a previous show. Before you do anything, you know, see, the job of the advisor is to figure out what to do for you. Your job is to select the advisor, and you need to be looking for somebody who's independent who can recommend things that make sense for you. Go to Broker Check, and you can check out the broker and their firm. For example, hypothetically speaking, let's say you went to Broker Check. That's at finra.org, F-I-N-R-A.org. And you went there, and you put in your brokerage firm's name. And you went and you clicked on their report, and there's a section called Disclosable Detail. You hit the disclosure, and you'll have, just say I did that with a particular broker just to check it out. You might find 200 pages of information there that you probably should look at before you invest with anybody, a broker or otherwise, whatever brokerage firm it is. And you can find out what kind of history of relationships they have had with their clients. Before you hire somebody to manage your money, you need to do a background check. And Broker Check at finra.org, F-I-N-R-A.org, will help you do that. You'll see if there have been any fines. See if the Securities Exchange Commission has fined them millions of dollars for bad behavior or has fined them for not disclosing things to their customers that they should. So there's a long list of questions I would love to add to. In fact, I'll add a whole book to the suggestion of questions that you should ask a broker or an advisor. And I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot more choices than simply saying, oh, I can't make any money, so I guess I'll have to go bet in the stock market or in the bond market. And you heard what Scott said about the bond market. You need to have a financial plan. Lisa's waving my five-second warning at me. I care deeply about this. I hope you hear my message today. And you take control of your finances. Don't just take what somebody says. Look at who they are, research them, and look for and insist on an actual financial plan. Thanks for being with me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.